For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, hi, hello.
Hey,
how are you? I'm Vince.
Hello.
And I'm your spring cleaning host, Olive.
And
how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I spent the entire day spring cleaning my house.
Good shit.
Yeah, we rearranged the entire living room.
Yeah,
and we dusted and vacuumed and shit, and we wiped the floorboards. We really went ham.
Cool.
And we moved our winter coat rack away and then put a little table and made a breakfast nook, and now it's really cute.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm exhausted just from doing all the work, but it's nice and I'm really happy. I'm feeling in a really inspired mood.
Cool. Welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, episode 144.
Yeah, welcome.
That's cool. I'm really tired. I'm trying to pick up extra hours of work.
Me too.
Tired. I played D&D the other night, and we just made characters. It was cool, but it's three dudes and a chick, right? And the chick's never played. Mm-hmm. She's never played
characters D&D. Or human players.
No, human people.
Okay. Human peepaws.
I mean, I don't know what gender they're playing. I assume they're playing their own gender. But. She's never played before, and I'm trying to sit down with her amongst the group and explain to her this is how the game is played, and you're not playing yourself, you're playing a character that has ideals and wants and thoughts and things of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at her and I was like, all right, so now you have to kind of think about your background. And she picked haunted one, because she's like, that sounds cool, I can see demons and
imagine your character just being haunted.
Yeah, but I was like, so what did your I lost it when I heard this. I go, well, what did your character do before they met up with the party, before they started adventure? She goes, I don't know, wait tables. And I fucking lost it. I thought it was so funny, to the point where in her notes it's oh, what items do you start with aside from her weapon and whatever? It's her name tag from when she was waiting tables. Because
that's really funny.
I thought it was it was.
And an apron and stuff.
Dude, it was the most human answer. Oh, what were you doing?
I don't know. Waiting tables.
I also started playing Overwatch again.
Oh, cool.
Just because it's something to do. I played with Papa once, but Papa told me that he doesn't like that I don't take the game seriously enough. I never took him as a competitive guy.
Yeah, I never did either.
Yeah.
Papa, are you why so serious, Papa?
I just wanted to play and mess around and be Lucio. I didn't
You mean the coolest?
Yes. And all of a sudden I'll message people if I see that they have a great name, and I'll be like, "Hey, 10 out of 10 name." One time I saw a dude whose name
What are some highlight names?
One was Auschwitz.
Ouch
and Auschwitz.
That's pretty creative.
I thought it was so funny. And Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
That was.
I'm seeing a theme here of
no.
Haha, the Jews.
No, it was just the first thing I thought of. But I played with someone who all capital their name was Peg_all_men. Peg all men.
That's good.
And I was like, I messaged them. I was like, yo, 10 out of 10 name. It made me laugh. So they send me a friend request. So, I mean, I'm not one for that activity. But, if you are, whatever, get down with your bad self. So I'm talking to fucking Peg all men, right? I think Peg all men was about 16.
Yeah.
Didn't know. I don't want to, I don't want to converse with children.
Yo, that's a nice ass mason jar, dude.
It's a pickle jar, bro.
It's a pickle jar? Because, look at mine. Your jar My jar pales in comparison to your jar.
My jar fucks, dude.
My jar decidedly doesn't fuck.
Dude, guess where I got where I got this jar?
Costco.
Yes.
Assuming. I'm sure it had Costco pickles in it.
Yes. And it fits so much water and ice now. I don't even know if this is going to be like in screen. So Peggleman. And I join Peg.
I agree with the sentiment.
So I join Peggleman's party chat, me and my buddy Chris, who Chris and I will just play this game and talk
just, to shit
and just talk shit the whole time and like try to play competitively, and we just can't. Like he used to be like a semi pro. Like that's how good he was at this. And I'm just like, haha, meme game that panders. And I'm just shooting as Lucio as I ride walls. Like, there's a game mode called Pokemon that every five levels you get a random character and you get stat increases. And
oh, that's kind of cool.
If you have like 11 plus one people playing, it's incredibly fun.
That sounds really fun.
All the abilities are unlimited. So once you get them, you can just keep using them.
You just keep going.
So like, Bridget, do you play Borderlands? Do you play Overwatch at all?
I stopped playing around the time Bridget was added. Okay. So I don't really know her kit.
She has a thing where she can like shield bash. And I had my like speed on 200% and my... Ooh. And my jump on like 150, or maybe it's flipped or something, or 300%.
So just jumping and shielding.
Dude, I was just zooming across. Dude, there was just a pile of people in the middle of the map, and I would just go kill two of them. Like, it's so, that's so much fun. But I joined Peg All Men's group chat thing, and it reminded me of the people you hung out with in high school. Like, did you ever see the band kid meme? The TikTok band kid meme?
I don't think
where he's
so.
Like, don't tell anybody, but I brought my lizard home, my lizard from home. His name's Big Chungus. T-pose. Like, it reminds me of dude, like people you were friends with, like in high school. And they're talking about the one kid. It was two females and a male. And one of them's talking about how their mom was a racist. And so my name on PlayStation implies that I am one old. And two, without giving too much away, two, the Buggins. And so they say to me, how old are you? Because like I said, my name implies that I'm old. I go, oh, 25. Mm-hmm. And then something happened where I brought up that I was in Vietnam. And I was like, that was a pretty hard time for me when I was in Vietnam. And they were like, oh, really? How was that? I was like, I watched my brother die in front of me. He was my stepbrother, twice removed, three times on my mom's side. But, and like, they didn't pick up
that,
like, twice removed, three times on my mom's side. And I was like, yeah, he fell into a punji pit. And they're like, what's a punji pit? I'm like, it's like a pit
with spikes.
And he fell into it. And I watched him yell and scream as he bled out and called for me and my stepmother and, you know. And they're like, wow. And I'm just going with it. And they're like, so how do you say your name? Buggins, Boogins, Beegins? I'm like, no, it's pronounced Baggins. they go, where did the A come from? I go, I left it in Vietnam. And I just, dude, I can't. And the one dude's apologizing to me. He's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know your brother was in Vietnam. I didn't mean to upset you or hurt your feelings. And I'm like, I'm just used to it. Every day's more numb than the next.
The youngest person from that served in Vietnam, like in their 70s or 80s right now.
They're like, how are you in Vietnam if you're 25? I was like, well, I'm not 25. Because I told them that's how old I was. I'm like, I'm not 25. And they're like, well, how old are you? I go, I don't know. It feels like in Vietnam aged me significantly. Like, it was just, I was just fucking
just really,
like,
you were just really going,
dude,
for
I
it.
I miss Xbox Live party chats. I really do. I mean, I could do without the racism, but, like,
yeah.
God, was it fun to fuck with people back in the day.
And the passing homophobia was actually kind of fun to work around.
What do you mean?
Like, how everyone would just, like, call each other, like, slurs and stuff.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I've said it before.
Like, it was just, like, it was just kind of the culture.
But I didn't know that was a slur until I was much older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know.
I thought it was just something to yell at someone who's lame.
I just thought it was like, you're being like, I think there's a Louis C.K. Yeah, there is a Louis C.K. joke about it. Mm. Where he goes, if I was walking through the park and I came across two guys going down on each other, I'd be like, oh, excuse me, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, I wouldn't use that word, but if a guy is like taking too long in the Starbucks line, like, come on. But yeah, I'm beat, dude. I'm tired. I'm a little bit tired. I'm ready for bed, dude.
Yeah, I'll have to have Papa come tuck you in.
Ooh. Did you do anything for Easter?
I hung out with a boy. Actually, I had a date.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm incidentally het right now.
What?
Kind of crazy. Incidentally het.
What is het?
Hetero. I'm doing a hetero relationship right now. And it's actually really fun. He's really, really sweet. He just, like, brought me around the city and actually taught me how to use the city buses, which are, like, super affordable. So we were just, like, gallivanting around. We, like, went to shops. We got ramen.
Wait, hold on. Can you walk me through the process of learning how to ride the bus?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not just get on bus, give money, swipe card, sit?
Yeah, that's the gist of it.
You needed to take a fucking class for that one?
No, but he like brought me to the transit center and like showed me where to buy like the bus pass cards. Which like I wasn't really sure like where the transit center was.
A lot of this sounds like a quick Google search.
Yeah, it was, and it's just, like, something I just hadn't gotten around to, but it was just, like, it was a nice, fun day.
Did you see anything fun on the bus?
There was this guy without his mask that was getting mouthy with the bus driver.
About wearing the mask?
Other than that, yeah.
Tight. You didn't see any homeless?
Other than that, it was, like, that was it. No, the guy that didn't have the mask was homeless.
Ah, good. The backbone of America.
I mean, I feel bad. I know homelessness is, like, a real problem.
No, it is. It's an absolute problem.
We've got plenty of... And we've got plenty of space for people. It's just that late-stage capitalism bad.
Yes. There's a... I think I've told the story. I don't know if I told the story before. There's a homeless guy who, like, patrols my area. And, like, in...
In a good way?
I don't know. See, that's the thing is, whenever I see there's a homeless guy, like, in the surrounding area, I always want to give him a couple bucks, because if anything goes wrong, he's going to go, that motherfucker needs me. And he's going to be like, I need to protect that guy. It's all about survival. That's all I'm thinking about.
If he ever goes postal, he is skipping your door.
Yeah, like that Dane Cook joke. You remember that Dane Cook joke?
I don't think I do. I don't really care
for
Dane Cook.
I know, but he's a joke stealer. He had a joke about how he worked in an office and the weird smelly dude, he would bring him chocolate every day and he'd be like, hey man, I got you a Snickers. So the day he goes crazy and shoots up the office, he's just going to peek into his cubicle and go, thanks for the Snickers. And they go back to mowing down HR.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I used to be able to recite that entire joke. Yeah, no, but he is in my building and, will hang out in the laundry room and just leaves weed everywhere. Like,
bruh.
Weed fairy?
The little weed fairy.
Dude, like, I went to go do my laundry. It was like 11 o'clock at night. I didn't think anything of it. Like, I'm usually up late to begin with.
Yeah.
So the lights are off. I turn the lights on, put my laundry in the machine. I put the money in and he goes, oh, sorry, man. I'll be out of here in a minute. And I was like, all right. And like, I didn't say anything. And then I'm like getting nervous and I like got my keys in my hand and I'm like, I put the carabiner like on my knuckles in case he tries to do some shit. And he's like, all right, man, have a blessed day. I'm like, yeah, dude, you too. And he left. And then I was like, I feel bad. He's homeless. This was like a month or two ago. So it started snowing and I was going to go run him two bottles of water and be like, be safe. Just cause you know, he's not going to put us then.
Yeah.
And, let me tell you,
just like be a citizen.
The homeless are a nomadic people, an incredibly nomadic people. He did not exit my peripheral vision for more than maybe 3 to 4 minutes. That motherfucker was gone, like quick. Like, dude, you want to fix homelessness? Let's get all of them into track running because they can do it.
Damn.
You know what I mean? Like, let's get them into track running. Let's have like, let's do something. Let's have a spectator sport of track running and like, we'll fix homelessness in this country. No problem. You want to get into this lore?
As much as I'd love to, we should really talk about the people that make the show possible.
Absolutely.
We've got some lovely, lovely people to thank from our Patreon.
Yes.
And without, I mean, you guys, you know.
If you know.
We've said it time and time again that without you, we couldn't do this show. You really do make it possible for us. And I'm going to start by thanking Noah.
You couldn't vamp for 2 more seconds? You saw me drinking.
No, I couldn't. I saw you drinking. I was like, hey.
Come on, dude.
Are you going to do your little part?
I'm thirsty. Thanks, Noah.
Next up is Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
Then we got Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus.
We have Bones Jones.
Thank you, Bones Jones.
And Girth Brooks.
Thank you, Girth Brooks.
Thank you so much, folks. It is an honor to make this show for you.
Thank you.
Do you want to get into this lore?
Yes.
Do it.
Okay. So, if you've been playing along at home, you'll know that we're going through the antagonists. I feel bad for people who listen weekly, because I've said this every week for what feels like 2 or 3 months at this point. But we went through the protagonists. Now we're doing the antagonists. Now we're doing the antagonists of the DLC. Now, spoiler for Nuka World, I don't really feel like I should have to give that. But at the same time, I kind of feel like I do, because it's the most recent one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not counting Broken Steel or whatever the new one coming out on the 26th of April or whatever it is. I want to see where these games fall canonically.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about it. But Nuka World ends... Did you beat Nuka World?
No.
Oh, you didn't even beat it. Like, let alone even do the best quest. You just didn't even beat it.
No, I just didn't even beat it.
All right, what's it like, being a fucking troglodyte?
You know what? It's kind of great.
Cool.
My brain is small and smooth.
Yes.
And I just roll through life without a care in the world, being beautiful.
Do you think your brain is small and smooth enough to be like the perfect size stone to skip across a lake or something?
It more looks like a completely smooth, like, chicken breast. Like, no wrinkles at all.
I just picture, like, that's what I'm working with. Fat, like, on the member. That's fucking funny. So the way Nuka World ends, if you don't know, is that one of the three raider groups, if you don't kill all of the raiders and purify it or something, one of the three raider groups will turn on the other two and you have to kill them. That being said, Nuka World's whole point was to give you choice, kind of, and allow you to become a bad guy instead of being this champion of the wastes or whatever the game wants you to be at the end of it.
Yeah, be an asshole.
Yeah, and not just sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, more information, but yes, no, funny yes. We should make shirts of that. Can we make shirts of that?
Where it's just like
it looks like arrows, yeah, and it just says yes, funny yes, no, yes with more options or whatever it is.
Yeah, I can do that.
That'd be tight.
If you put it on the art form, I can do it.
You don't fucking look at that art form. Okay, so Nuka World, right?
Yeah.
Nuka World, the whole thing is that you're supposed to be able to be a raider. You're supposed to be able to be a bad man. So I thought, let's do the three raider groups, because eventually one of them turns on you, or you go after all of them, depending on how you want to do the quest line in it. That being said, there's not a lot. I'll be completely honest with you. It's Emil Pegley something Italian who wrote, I'm assuming wrote this, so I don't expect a lot to be there. But first off, we have the Operators. There will be an image of them on screen. The Operators are one of three factions of Raiders living inside of Nuka World. They are led by brother and sister duo Mags and William Black. The Operators can easily be classified as an organized crime group, or can also be referred to as a gang or crime syndicate. With their main motivation being profit, they appear less savage and bloodthirsty than the Disciples or the Pack, with more functional outfits. Like I said, we're going to talk about all the gangs, so don't worry. More functional outfits compared to their outlandish garb of their counterparts, resembling more of a paramilitary organization. Additionally, they have more approachable and reasonable demeanor compared to other factions. They become trapped in the theme park along with the two other raider gangs inside of Nuka World. They are unable to expand their operations due to lack of action by overboss Coulter, who decides not to follow through with Porter Gage's original plan. They are, however, a dangerous group that should not be underestimated. That's really it.
Yeah, for some reason, I remember back to Nuka World, I remember liking the operators the most. Like, they were the most reasonable people to come to the table.
Yeah. I like the pack. Again,
after the show, I might actually play Nuka World to relax.
You're not going
to
do that. You and I both know that.
Hold on. Let me open up my Steam and see if I have it downloaded.
Operators are only found with a sniper rifle variant of the handmade rifle, with a short scope and a long sniper barrel equipped. Modded versions commonly have long covered barrels, small quick eject mags, and various scopes and semi-auto receivers. They are also the only faction in Nuka World that has two leaders, both Mags and William Black. Despite this, William will not initiate dialogue with you or give missions like his sister. The operator's faction armor offers a fair amount of well-balanced protection akin to combat armor, but is almost twice as heavy. Their armor dress is the heaviest piece of clothing in the game, weighing in at 71 pounds. Wow. While providing resistance on par with a full set of sturdy combat armor. Operator's heavy armor actually surpasses heavy combat armor in terms of protective qualities. Since every operator is equipped with at least a few pairs of their armor, it means that even the most basic operator boasts better resistance than Commonwealth raiders or gunners of much higher levels. This, coupled with the powerful weaponry, makes them a lot more dangerous than their Commonwealth counterparts, regardless of one's level. Next up, did I say that I get all my lore from fallout.fandom.com?
You did now.
Cool. Next up is the Disciples. Disciples are another one of three factions. The Disciples are led by the enigmatic Nisha. I guess I'll have a picture of the leaders up here as well.
Or at least like they're like clan tags.
Yes. in criminology term, the disciples most common factor is the act called thrill killing, meaning that they are bloodthirsty and sadistic by nature. The Disciples are more akin to regular wasteland raiders more than they are to the operators or the pack. Their base in Fizztop Mountain is filled with disassembled corpses and gore. Since Nisha became their leader and named them the Disciples, they follow what they see as the natural way of the world. Kill or be killed. Survival of the fittest. The only rule they truly have is don't get caught, meaning the Disciples are pretty much free to do anything, including killing members of the other gangs, as long as they don't get caught. What did you say? Leaving behind evidence that trails back to the Disciples may lead to disciplinary, thank you. I could say it, but I couldn't form it with my mouth and face.
Right.
Disciplinary measures taken from within, which usually means the offending disciple is killed and disposed of. The gauntlet was built by the Disciples as a way of keeping them calm while waiting for Coulter to follow up the plans of taking over Nuka World. Most of their members are women. They are not female exclusive, however. It is possible to find a male disciple in owned raider outposts and can be seen in their base with Savoy, being a notable male disciple. Disciples carry guns, but often remark that they prefer knives, as these can be used to deliver slow and painful deaths to their victims. All disciples wear face covering masks.
The Rona, secure.
Disciples usually carry a 44 pistol with a bayonet or shortened automatic version of a handmade rifle. That's the best thing to come out of this DLC was the handmade rifle.
Yeah, really fucking cool.
Did you ever get the splatter cannon?
Yes.
It's like every time you shot somebody in succession, it did double damage or something.
It was really good.
The handmade rifle in their gang's colors, with modified versions of guns completely equipped with drum magazines. The Disciple faction armor offers a fair amount of well-balanced protection akin to... Is this the same thing written out?
Is it?
The same well-balanced protection akin to combat armor, but is almost twice as heavy. The custom metal armor weighs up to 109
pounds. It might just be like the same as the other factions.
Yeah, it weighs up to 109 pounds for a full set while providing even higher resistance than a suit of heavy combat armor. Since every disciple is equipped with at least a few parts of their armor, it often means that even the most basic disciple boasts better gun resistance than... I've already read this for the other one. It's pretty much copy-paste. Yeah. Even though the
It's just heavier combat armor.
Yeah. Even though the disciples state, sure, we use guns, but knives are where it's at. Almost none of them actually use knives in combat. The disciples' blade can only be found in Nisha's inventory and or rarely on random disciple spawning outside of Nuketown, USA. Now for my favorite, the pack.
The pack is pretty dope.
They remind me of Little B. The Rat Man.
Like Little B Base God?
Yeah, because he was originally part of a group called The Pack.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Pack is one of three factions found inside of Nuka World, and they are an animal-themed and equipped with a fucking shitty demeanor, and the pack is led by Alpha Mason. Because he's not compensating for anything.
Like a hierarchical structure that is similar to a pack.
Yeah, but did you know that like Alpha and Omega Wolves don't exist?
That like doesn't exist.
It's like not real.
Yeah, it's like a bad scientific study that just got too much PR and it's like not even real. It's more of like a egalitarian kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where everyone's kind of like an equal member of the unit.
Like there's always a runt because there's always a small one.
Mm-hmm.
But like
and there are, like, the more, like, stronger, like, warrior kind of types.
But, dude, have 10 kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, have 10 kids. Just what do you think is going to happen?
Shit 10 kids out.
Yeah. The hierarchy of the pack is based... I'm not going to do that voice. The hierarchy of the pack is based on pop culture depictions of wolf packs, with their leader being referred to as the Alpha. They follow the rules of survival of the fittest, as well as certain other animals... Example, peacocks. Who named the peacock the peacock?
Alfred P. Cockensfield.
Like, who was just like, let's just name it fucking piss genitals. Like, they use their colorful and outlandish looks to boast. I just think peacock, like, they're cool birds. I remember there was a zoo growing up that we used to go to that they would just walk around.
They just walked around on this one island in Croatia.
Really?
Yeah, I visited it a couple times. I have, like, videos, like, 4 feet from peacocks.
Oh, that's really tight.
They would just fucking chill.
Do you want to hear a funny story about birds real quick?
Sure.
I was in my – they're not real. I was in my car at work, and I had the door open, and I was, like, at the end of a parking lot near some grass, and, like, right where I work, there's a house next door, and all of a sudden I see this chicken walk over. And I'm like 8 feet from this chicken, and I was like, okay, I guess they just do this out here. So I take a picture of the chicken.
Just a fucking chicken, yeah.
I just take a picture of the chicken.
I keep saying the fuck word, sorry.
It's all good, don't worry. And I'm like on my phone, like dicking around on my break, and I hear, Vance, Vance. And I hear it, but it's not like processing. And I go, and I hear, Vance, Vance, I need help. Is it Vince or is it Vance? And I, like, look out of my car, and I, like, look around at the girl, and I go, it's Anthony. And I got out. And she's like, I need help with this chicken. And I'm like, what? what do you need? And she's like, I need to take this chicken and put it on the other side of the fence. Can you help me corner it? And I looked at her
just
with a straight face and went,
chuck it like a football.
I looked at her with a straight face and go, I ain't touching that fucking chicken. I was like, she's like, okay. I'm sitting there going, I ain't touching this chicken raw. Only way I'm touching this chicken raw is if I'm making some fucking chicken cutlets. And guess what? I'm not. So I ain't touching this chicken. Whatever. It is common for the pack's members to challenge the reigning alpha to win the title, which ends with the winner remaining as the dominant. This is written poorly. It's common for pack members to challenge the reigning alpha to win the title, which ends with the winner remaining as the dominant of the pack, which usually means the alpha is the most violent member, but not the most capable leader. As pack law forbids killing other members, the losers are generally shamed and then exiled. Members are identified by their colorful outfits and bizarre face paint. Most members wear masks depicting other animals. The pack feeds the carnivorous animals they keep with human remains. Evidence of this can be found
within
Nuka World's backstage. Yeah. Did you ever find Sito? In Nuka World? Sito. He's like he's raised by the gorillas or something. And he's like super strong. And when you do his quest, he gives you Sito's shiny slugger. And it's a
It's
an aluminum baseball bat with rockets on it. And it fucking rips.
Cool.
Yeah. The pack members are found with automatic versions of the handmade rifle in their gang's colors or painted versions of baseball bats, sledgehammers, and board. Just board.
Board.
With various mods equipped. Pack members are twice as likely to equip a baseball bat as any other over any other melee weapon.
I love the energy of like someone coming at you with a fucking baseball bat that's modded to hell.
Yeah. Do you ever actually see a baseball bat?
It makes me want to, like, put razor blades on a baseball bat.
I don't know how well that would work. Like, nails makes a lot of sense. You know what I saw the other day? I saw Christ nails. You know what Christ nails are?
Christ nails?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus the Christ?
Yeah, like, I've always heard them referred to as Christ nails. They're like the old nails from the 1800s that are just spikes. Like, this big.
Like, the ones that, like, just kind of, like... taper down
and they have like a flat head ones,
yeah.
I saw Christ nails the other day. I was like, wow, it's been a long time since I've seen these. That's my story for today.
Christ nails.
Yeah, you never heard that before?
I just think it's funny.
The pack is the only raider group faction in Nuka World with only one name member in it, while the operators and disciples both have three. Pack faction armor is a fair amount of well-balanced protection akin to combat armor. It's about the same shit.
The same copy pasta. Yeah, it's just the heavier combat armor.
Cool. That's the three gangs that control Nuka World. Do you feel enlightened? Do you feel blessed upon?
Honestly, I had a better impression of them when we hadn't talked about them. Because
really?
Now I just kind of feel like they're pretty basic.
Yeah, they're white.
All three of them are pretty much the same thing, just a little bit different skin.
It's Fallout.
I feel like
four.
When I was actually in the world, like interacting with them, I had a much better impression.
I liked the pack the most when I played because it was the group that was like, we're just raiders for the sake of being raiders.
Mm-hmm. Like, we just fuck.
Yeah, I like them. I like them the most. I think that's lore. Home person?
I think that's lore, too. All right. So, even though the lore is over...
Yes.
I do have some questions to ask you about what you think about these groups.
Okay.
Because Nuka World, pretty good, from what I played. But, like I said, these groups are kind of boring. Do you want to remaster them? With me?
Sure.
Let's make these people more interesting. Which one do you want to talk about and like see if we can make it better?
I think the disciples and the operators are so fucking similar. And
they're really
honestly
similar.
Why would they name them the disciples?
It's not like they're like if they were named like something like the disciples, I want it to be more culty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should, like, redo these.
Sure.
Just go in order.
Yeah.
So, the operators are kind of like the, like mafioso syndicate type.
Can I just tell you something, speaking of that? I've already forgotten the disciples and the operators, what made them different.
Me too. That's why I think we should make them better.
Yeah, like, and I'm not just, haha, Fallout 4, no player choice. I'm not making that meme. I genuinely, it's probably because I'm super tired too, but I genuinely don't remember what made them different, because I'm pretty sure both of their things was kill or be killed, survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
So, the operators, you want to do more of, like, I think we need more Italian representation in these games.
Yeah. I think so, too.
I don't think my people show up enough. It's bad enough I had to play in fucking Boston, and that the only cool city is in the fucking Red Sox Stadium.
Yeah, fuck that. But for the operators, I feel like they should do something to be more in line with their namesake. Like, there should have been some kind of, like, quest line that, like, if you look at their logo, it's, like, literally a crosshairs with a heart in it. They should be trying to pull some tricks and assassinate people, like, throughout their quest line.
I think.
They should be really vying for dominance.
I think.
As, like, the syndicate type system. Do it. What do you think?
We should play up the Italian thing, like the mobster thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, speaking that you said it's a heart inside of some crosshairs. The main guy is a little chubby Italian guy. He's always eating. Always. And I'm not mm-hmm. just like, he's like, you watch a mafia movie, which I don't because they make our people look bad. But watch any mafia movie, everybody's eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This dude's always eating pasta. Like, he's always eating something. Like, he's found a way to continue what tradition he can. And
he's got a fixation on Salisbury steak.
Sure. And he, the reason why it's the crosshairs with the heart in it is, it was originally more of, like, just the heart logo. And then already totally forgot. Is the operators the brother and sister duo?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's how little I remember this. Instead of a brother and sister dynamic, it was originally him and his lover.
Yeah, and then one of the other, like the pack, like, killed the lover.
I wasn't thinking the pack killed the lover. I think it was something a little more heinous. When somebody dies, you know they're gone and you'll never talk to them again. When somebody mm-hmm. cheats on you, you know they're out in that world, no longer having fun with you when they used to.
Right.
I think his girlfriend or what have you, or lover or something, or maybe a dude, I don't know. It doesn't matter at this point. Love interest meets up with a caravaner or something that is, or maybe even one of the hubologists that are right outside of Nuka World, falls in love mm-hmm. with them, starts cheating on the new leader of the operators. And he goes, okay,
ooh,
cool. Nobody in my gang is ever allowed to be in love again because that just brings problems.
Oh, so he makes it like super like no fucking around?
No, quite literally no fucking around. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. That's like really cool.
That's it. He knows. He goes, okay, this is how I got hurt. This fucked me over in the long run. I'm going to make sure. And what he thinks he's doing is helping the gang. But what he's really doing is like putting a damper on the gang, and if anything mm-hmm. they're just kind of going to other people of either opposite or same sex, since they're not allowed to have any sort of relationship with them. They're just kind of like screwing around and kind of messing with people's emotions mm-hmm. and shit, and
that's just, it's causing more problems.
Yeah, but he thinks he's doing something good in the long run, but he not mm-hmm. he's not.
I know what's best for Nuka World.
Kind of, yeah.
This is a business. There's no love about it.
Yeah, the only love you should have, like that. The only love you should have is for your job and not for anybody else. Because my job isn't going to cheat on me.
That would have been so much more interesting.
Hire me, goddammit. Fucking hire me. I love this universe. I will be more than happy to write cool shit for this universe.
I think that's a much better concept for the operators.
And it makes the leader of the operators a way more compelling character because you can feel for him. Because even if you've never been cheated on, you understand that you've probably either had feelings for someone, been in a relationship with someone or something, and to think, oh my God, if that person were to leave me for somebody else, I'd be devastated. He becomes a way more sympathetic character.
There could even be like a quest to like go after the guy that stole his woman.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to wipe out the caravan as
something.
Yeah. You took my girl. I take your entire business. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it could have been hard.
Yeah, it could have been. You could have really played up. You could have really played up a more of, you know, like a mob style,
a heartsick revenge of a mobster.
He seems like he's in control, like he's in charge, but he's just so heartbroken. He's just so upset about what happened. He won't even like admit it. The dude like hasn't cried in years because he won't allow himself to do it. Like.
Oh, and, like, when you finally catch the guy that did it, he's just, like, standing there, like, with the gun to his head and just bawling his eyes out as he takes down the competition.
What?
I'm thinking, like, the mob leader, when he goes, like, when you do the revenge quest, he's just, like, crying his eyes out as he's killing this other guy that stole his woman.
I see. Okay, yeah. Yeah, finally, like, he cries.
Finally getting, like, that release.
See, I thought you were saying when you turn on everybody, like, if you turn on everybody, when you enter his office, he's just smoking a cigarette, eating food, and it's just, like, you go through a whole long dialogue thing, and at the end of it, he pretty much goes, "You're not killing me. I've been dead for years." And then, like, bang, like, what the fuck happened here? This now this warrants a second playthrough, because now I have to find out what that was about.
Yeah. And, like, you're just another one turning your back on
me. Yeah. Once again, like somebody that. Else has disappointed me. Like, character dynamics.
That would have been so much cooler.
Yeah. So what do you think about
the Disciples?
Yeah, again, totally.
Cult of personality, definitely.
I don't agree. I don't disagree.
What do you think?
Cult.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because the Hubologists are there in Nuka World, play into that.
Okay. How do you see them interacting?
This is – now, again, I've only played mostly Fallout 1, and I know the Hubologists quite literally come from the Hub, and they're the cult.
Mm-hmm.
But from the Hub – but I think play it up that the Disciples, the full name would be like the Disciples of the Hub. I have questions on which they might answer in the game, but I don't remember of how the fuck did they get all the way from California to Boston? Which I kind of
an $80,000 vertibird.
Which I kind of need to like I need to see if that's like in the game because I don't remember if they explain why they're there. But what if the Disciples were an offshoot of Hubologists?
And, like a radicalized Hubologist sect.
So like
that's really cool.
Full name is like Disciples of the of Hubology, and not just Hubologist. Like I'm a Hubologist from
like we could even reuse Nisha. Like Nisha.
Oh, I don't care what you do with. Yeah, absolutely.
Like went totally like changed the dogma and was like. This is what we're doing, and everyone was like, yeah, we're following Nisha.
Okay, so do you know the difference between a cult and a religion?
Funding.
Kind of. Tax exemption. When I had some people over to play D&D the other night, I have a sticker on my laptop, because I was using my laptop. I have a sticker of Heaven's Gate on my laptop, and one person goes, oh, that's really cool. What is that? I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? Because it says Heaven's Gate Social Club, and it's a guy with a purple, like, fucking cloth over his face, and he's drinking something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know what that is? And she's like, no, I don't. And I was like, this is totally off now. I'm going to have to, like, readjust that. That really sucks. She's like, no, I don't. Is it a clothing brand? I go, no, it's a cult. and, like, I went on a whole, like, 30-minute tirade. I showed them the website and the videos. Like
you gave them the rundown of Heaven's Gate and what it was.
There's a Heaven's Gate HBO documentary that I've yet to watch. And I'm kind of waiting for, like, a day where I have off where I can sit down and, like, really, really get into it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the,
I'm trying to convince Aislinn to listen to the Heaven's Gate podcast.
It's amazing.
It's really good.
I listen to it once a year. All 10 episodes, I make sure I listen to it once a year because it's so good. The difference between a religion and a cult is a religion worships a dead figure. A cult worships someone who's still alive.
That, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you look at something like Christianity, people worship Jesus. Jesus in canon, in the lore, was in a human who died and then ascended to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look
the
at
the Son of God, if that's what you're, but if you on about,
if you
yeah.
look at, if you look at Waco, Texas, David Koresh said that he was speaking to God, and then people started to worship him because they said
as an emissary,
exactly. Yeah. So that's the difference between a cult and a religion. Those so are the yeah, two I things.
I want to see the disciples be like more like culty.
Yes. They worship Nisha or whoever it may be because he feels like whatever deity – and I feel bad that I don't really know all of this. So let me look it up quick. Whatever deity the hub focuses themselves on, he's mm-hmm. hearing voices from this deity. Turns out it's probably like drug usage that every cult
some
has.
Some Mama Murphy-ass stuff.
Like every cult has drug use. Well, yeah, at some point they have drug use.
At some point.
And heavy drinking. But it's also probably a mix of radiation. I'll
say substance abuse is a common motif for cults.
Yes. The Habal, you're getting a little bit of bonus lore. We're going to do something on the Habalists in the future, but just their quick little blurb on the top of the wiki says, Habalists are a religious sect headquartered in the former city of San Francisco and can also be found in Nuka World. They originated as a cult founded before the Great War. Oh, before the Great War, known by a man known as Dick Hubble, or the Hub, by Habalists. So they, who do they worship? Beliefs. Habalists are a religion that promotes the ideal that humans are plagued by the spirit, or plagued by the spirit of the dead, called Nereidians. Okay, so what I'm getting from this is that it's pretty much a play on Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying
that's not what I got.
I'm not saying that Scientology is a cult or a religion or anything. I bet they're fine people.
But
that, that are
a tax exempt organization.
But it is tax exempt, and I hope they're having a fine day because I just want them to know that. Thumbs up to you guys. You kind of scare me. And I don't want to say you're good or bad people on a recording. So
I don't want to get Twitter mobbed by the Scientologists.
Did you ever see the documentary Going Clear? I feel like just saying that they're going to come after me. So they worship whatever, but they feel like whatever deity they're getting in touch with, be it Dick Hubble or whatever, he's speaking to some sort of version of him, and he's getting that the only way for you to – we kind of play into Waco. The only way for you to be able to attain power and to bring out whatever their deity wants, be it peace or – like what does Jesus really want other than you to be nice to your neighbors and if people are selling shit?
And half the people don't even do that.
Yeah, exactly. Like – so he's like, the only way you're going to be able to get this is if you get a bunch of guns together and get organized and you make yourself a compound.
And you kill for me.
Pretty much. Killing's not something that's going to be – killing is going to be looked at as sacred. It's going to be looked at as a rite of passage.
Like you've been blessed with this opportunity to kill.
I'm kind of thinking of it in the terms of –
I don't like killing, but when done righteously, it is a chore like any other.
Like, I'm thinking it very much in that sense of like...
That was a very good sound bit.
You like that?
It was. I thought it was very good.
Hey, thanks. He's my favorite character in New Vegas, and I think it's more of like, when you kill, know what you're doing. Fucking know what you're doing, because what you're doing is thanking and saying and showing our God that what we're doing matters. But you can't, like every other thing, you can't take too much joy in it. Too much excess. Like I want
then it's like hedonism.
Yes. And I want you to be able to go into their base and see them flagellating themselves. Just and like someone's putting salt.
Like really offering themselves up like, to the cause.
Yeah. Like this is a group that it's a cult, but like they are highly militarized. They are highly active. I don't care what their story is outside of that really. I mean, we could flesh it out more. I need to know more about Hobology, to be completely honest.
Right. Yeah. It would have to definitely be based in Hobology.
I think that would be where he like goes manic and goes off on his own. And by the end of it, if he's one of the ones, he's like, I have spoken to Dick Hubble and this and that. And like, you could throw in like other things and talk about other sorts of religions and whatnot and other cults. Mm-hmm. Have a reference to Heaven's Gate, be like, once Dick Hubble comes, when the comets come and the spaceship behind it, we will ascend to the next. Like, have a whole thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that.
That's all I think I have to say on the disciples.
Yeah.
But that's already more compelling than what we got, which is just like, let's just kill.
Yeah.
For the pack, I really like the pack as a concept.
Yeah, me too.
But I just wish they were a little bit more apeshit.
I wish this is what I would do with the pack.
I want to see like the pack, but like Rage 2. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I want the pack to not be a loose group of people.
You want them to have a very like strict social hierarchy.
The pack is like 16. No, that's too much. The pack is like, I was going to say 15. 11 plus 1 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Due to the top. Everybody has names. They are so fucking powerful and strategized. And in the strategy is rush. Like, mm-hmm. they have
you
some.
You go in and you conquer.
Yeah, I want them to kind of
be. And also,
be,
I would have liked to see even more, like, animal motifs. Like, I wanted to see, like.
Yes, this is what I was
like,
about to get at. Yeah.
And stuff.
So,
yeah.
So. Let's say there's 11 plus 1, right? The first three mm-hmm. are the head council. And each one is represented
it's
by.
It's like the wolf, the bear, and like the hawk or something.
The three people in the top council are apex predators. That's the motif they're built on. One's a lion, one's a wolf, one's a gorilla, something like that, right? Then under those three are kind of like hunter-gatherers. So mm-hmm. a hunter-gatherer animal, strong, can hold their own, but is something else. And then the bottom, what I say, and what are we at, six? The last six mm-hmm. are big, beefy rhinos, elephants, hippopotamus, big animals like that. They are the wall. They are the strongest mm-hmm. forces they have. They rush in with the handmade rifles and fucking mow everybody down. And that's
like
there's like underling soldiers, and they could play on the motif of like birds, like they can play on the motif of like parrots, like colorful feathers and shit. And then I kind of want an outside group based on penguins. Hear me out.
I would like to hear this.
They're kind of like what are Kaisar's assassins? Praetorians? No,
they're the It sounds like Fumentari, yeah.
Okay, essentially the Pax Fumentari, they all wear black suits, but their faces are their face and hair is just this vibrant painting of different colors, but from like almost like the Yakuza in a reverse sense, from the neck down, it is a suit. And then here, like coming out from the neck is like the tree of life. So they believe in this like hierarchy of nature, and that the tree of life, the roots of the tree of life kind of flow throughout them to the paint, like going near their eyes to their ears. And they have like whatever hairdo they want. And it's all like out and crazy. And like,
it's, and even like they could have like fake, like antlers and like ears and stuff.
And they really, really, but there's like four of them, and they have their own council. Like when they're called upon, they're called upon, and they're ruthless, but they're calculated and ruthless.
Like they're smart.
They're like you could even have where you meet with this council of four different penguin assassins or whatever they're called, and like they know that they're smarter and better than everybody else in the pack, like in that 12 hierarchy.
And the 12 hierarchy knows that they
know
kick ass.
They know they kick ass, but they're too ignorant to realize that they could kill all of them. And the only reason that the Penguin Four don't do it is because they go, we have a cushy life. We get called upon to do something rarely. Yeah. We walk around, we eat when we want, we fuck when we want, we do whatever we want when we want it. So why would I go and ruin this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That super slaps.
Thanks.
And it's better than what Bethesda gave us.
A good game, or a bad game is bad forever, but a delayed game has the opportunity to be better. The game needed 2 more years of development. That's all I'm going to say. Fall 4 is a fine game. This isn't... I'm tired of shitting on it, but...
Do you know what didn't need 2 more years of development?
What would that be?
That would be our intro music, Feather Duster. Yeah, tell me. If you wanted to get it, you can get it at www.silvermansounds.com/freemusic/feather duster. Vince, tell us some words.
If you'd like, in the description below, there are links to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Olive's Twitter. There's also a link down there to our Discord. Go ahead and join our Discord. We use Discord to record so we can look at each other. We can we listen to some music this episode, and I really feel like it helped me a lot reading because I'm dyslexic. Yeah. Let my brain kind of think about other things as I read. This has been a Gooman Entertainment production. We check us out on YouTube. We got a bunch of other shows. There should be a Lizard Brains episode up by now. So if you like Godzilla and you want to listen to me and a friend of mine talk about what has been so far the worst one in the series.
Which one is it?
The son of Godzilla.
Hmm.
Godzilla's a kid and he's not a great dad and the human plot goes on way too long. Yeah, it's not great. And I love some big lizard, but...
got one in my backyard.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for being here, friends.
Thank you again to the Patreon. If you'd like to support us in another way, we have a Redbubble where you could buy a T-shaped shirt, a bunch of other cool stuff. I got that from another podcast I listened to. I think that's everything. I'm really tired.
Me too. I'm, like, ready to go to bed.
I'll say something funny.
Something funny.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Gooman Entertainment Production.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.